Good morning, everyone. I hope everybody's doing well. I wanted to come in today and talk about something that's been on my heart for a very long time. I think it's important. And a special thank you to Aaron from Got a Minute, who helped me on the research with this. I want to talk about translations and why translations are very important. And that, as Aaron so rightly put it, we cling to the word of Jesus, not to a specific translation. And there are many reasons why. And I've alluded to this before in my past podcast. Now I have the answer that can validate what my initial feeling was. I want to talk about specifically the section in Matthew 24:40. Two are in the field, one is taken and one is left behind. I know a lot of people cling to the word taken in that passage, and they have said to me, well, they use the word taken, and that's the same word they use to describe the people in the flood of Noah who died. They were taken in the flood. So it means that you're being killed. And I understand how they're getting there, but that is, it's just completely false doctrine. And here's what I want to say about that. The word taken, which is in a lot of scripture versions, it's in the King James, it's in almost all of the digital versions. In fact, I have not found a digital version yet that doesn't have the word taken. But as I've said before, I also use the Sefer, which I like very much because it uses a lot of the original Hebrew words. For instance, Yeshua HaMashiach instead of Jesus Christ. And it does seem to be very close to the Dead Sea Scrolls. And when I was researching this, my Sefer, both my hardcover Sefers, did not have the word taken in that passage. They had the word received. Two are in the field, one is received, and one is forsaken. And I always thought that that was a huge difference. And when I saw that that was the word received, it really got me thinking, because the other place where we hear the word received, which is extremely important, is in John 14:3, where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you will be also. Jesus himself used the word received. And so when I'm looking at Matthew 24:40, I wanted to know if that word received in the original Greek and Hebrew was the same word that Jesus used in John 14:3. And it is. It is the same word. The original Greek word in both of those passages is paralambano, which means to receive. And the Strong's Concordance number for that word is G3880. So, no matter what translation you have, whether it's the King James, whether it's the Sefer, whether it's something else, no matter what the English translation is of that word, the original word in that passage is received. Two are in the field, one is received, and one is forsaken. I think that's extremely important, and it's also a good lesson on being very careful about clinging to a translation rather than the word and what the meaning is behind the word. That's why clinging to a specific word in one passage is never a good idea, because like I've said before, scripture will always validate itself. And if there's something in scripture that contradicts something else in scripture, it's not scripture that's incorrect, it's your interpretation of it. And there are many reasons why that belief that two are in the field, one is taken, is a sign of death rather than the rapture. There are many reasons why that is a contradiction to the entirety of scripture. So there are lots of ways that you can see that something like that is taking you down a false doctrine. Translation is extremely important. I believe in John 14:3, when Jesus said, I will come and receive you unto myself, I do believe he's talking about the rapture there. He is saying, I will come and receive you. I will receive you to me. It's a very specific way to say it. And I think there's a reason. And there's also a reason, I think, that in many translations, that word was changed in Matthew 24:40 to taken. It can mean the same thing, but it can also mean something very different. And one of the tools that Satan has always used to pull people away from Christ, to pull people away from the word, is to use the word itself, but change one tiny little word here and there that might not trip up everybody, but it will trip up some. And a lot of people have been very tripped up by that word taken in Matthew. So if you want to do your own research, all you need to do is look up the original Greek word, which is G3880, and then go to John 14:3 and see if it's the same word, and you will find out that it is. So the line actually reads, two are in the field, one is received, and one is forsaken. That, my friends, is talking about the rapture. And it's a beautiful thing. It's not the word taken from the people who were taken in the flood of Noah. It's not, that's not what that means. And the original Greek and Hebrew confirms that, as does the rest of the Bible. But and I give Aaron a lot of credit. He was on a podcast with Uptime where he broached that subject and was talking about, you know, as wonderful and as full of merit as the King James Bible is, even the King James Bible did not translate that word completely accurately. The Sefer did, but that also doesn't mean that the Sefer is always correct. So it's really important to double check things like that. That is why it says study to show yourself approved unto God, because we have to double check things. A lot of things can get lost in translations, sometimes intentional, sometimes not. I just wanted to put that out there for those who are still listening to the people who are telling you that there is no pre-trib rapture or that there is no rapture at all. That is not consistent with Scripture. And I do believe, as Scripture says, we are supposed to be looking for it. We are supposed to be talking about it. We are supposed to be comforting each other with it. And the other thing I wanted to say along this lines of translations is, I've mentioned this warning before, but I really feel like we're getting to the point where this is about to become a very, very big issue. And that is this AI storm that is starting to sweep over the planet. A lot of the digital versions of the Bible are already being altered. Little words like that are being changed, and then stories about what that word means is being woven into the fabric of the church, and people are being pulled away from Scripture because of it. Just like two are in the field, one is taken and one is left behind. You change one little word like that, that might not trip up everybody, but it trips up enough people that now a lot of church believers are listening to the story being spun about the word taken and are being pulled away from their faith because of it. It's an extremely powerful example of how dangerous the twisting of just one tiny little word can be to the meaning of Scripture and to God's word, whether it's intentional or not. But my point being, with the rise of AI and where the world is headed with the Antichrist and the one world religion, this is how he's going to do it. He is going to twist words. And look at how many people have absolutely been pulled away from the promises of God, the pre-trib rapture, the comfort in our blessed hope. Many of these people have been pulled away simply because of the changing of one word. It's an illustration of how incredibly important it is to study your Bible and know what the meanings are and test it. Test it against the rest of the Bible. Test it against the character of God. Test it against the things that Jesus said. Look at the actual original words whenever you can. It's very important because this deception is going to start snowballing, in my opinion. I really think it is. They're going to start pulling out these quote-unquote newfound scrolls that nobody can read except for this AI program, and here's what it says. And there is a new lie that is being planted. They're trying to say now that they've found a whole bunch of ancient scrolls that nobody's ever seen before, and it can't be read by the human eye. But thanks to this new AI program, we can lift the words off this scroll and see what these scrolls said. Be very careful about anything along that line, because in a situation like that, you are completely at the mercy of an AI program. They can lie so easily with something like that, and you would never know it. And my guess is they're going to expand this story, and I do believe that they are going to start using that to erase real Scripture and replace it with their own. And that's very dangerous. So when they start doing stuff like that, turn off what they're saying, grab your hardcover Bible, stay in the Word, and keep looking up, because that's a very dangerous manipulation that a lot of people are going to fall for. So don't let yourself be one of them. It's very important, because deception, again, is the number one thing that we were warned about by Jesus in the end times. The deception is going to be so great that, if possible, even the elect will be fooled. And a lot of people who know Scripture very well are starting to get pulled down rabbit holes that are not consistent with the Word of God. And it's a dangerous time. So arm yourself with the Word and prayer and talk to Yeshua, and don't get caught up in this AI stuff that's coming. My opinion, my advice, be very careful if the Bible you're turning to is a digital copy, because they can change those in a heartbeat, and words are already being changed. I strongly suggest you get a hard copy of a Bible that's been around for a very long time so that you have the actual written word and you arm yourself with the strength of it. All right? I love you guys. Stay strong. Things are getting tough out there. This eclipse is coming, and Boy, there's a lot of really fascinating information along with that eclipse. Aaron from God a Minute has done some great videos on the biblical implications of the towns that it's going through. There's also another video that's out there talking about how there are two major fault lines that happen to be exactly on the path of that X that's about to come over the country on April 8th. And along with that, we have states that are already declaring a state of emergency for a solar eclipse, which I find interesting. I don't remember that happening before. So a lot of things are lining up that can't be coincidence. So be very careful. Keep your head on a swivel. Keep your heart in the Word. And keep your eyes up, because Jesus is coming.